to God. If he's not the best thing that ever happened to you, you're not saved. Amen. Thank God for all of his mercy and grace towards us. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Samuel. I'm going to look at a story today that goes along with that song. David also believed that God was the best thing that ever happened to him. Amen. I hope you believe that this morning, that God's the best thing that's ever happened to you. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved, and he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. I'm going to look at one verse and get to the message God laid on our heart for this morning. And I have somewhat of an illustrative message this morning. And I'm going to be calling on volunteers. I'm not going to ask for volunteers. I'm just going to pick volunteers. Amen. This morning. And you boys, just raise your hand. You will be up here. Amen. All right, good. I'm going to use all you guys, all right? Help us, Lord. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 22. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall." I'm going to read it one more time. David's here talking to God. He's speaking to the Lord. He's writing a song that's going to be sung. We also find this passage over in Psalms chapter number 18, where he writes some parts of this song. In Psalms chapter 18, he said, "For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall." Does anybody remember the game Red Rover, Red Rover? Anybody remember that? All right. Ella raised her hand. She just found out about it yesterday. All right. My kids had never heard of the game Red Rover, Red Rover. Thanks to communists, they've gotten away with games like this and did away with them. But there was a game called Red Rover, Red Rover. For those that are not familiar with it, it's a game that's played between two lines of players. They usually called it the east or west, and it didn't really matter what position they were in. They would call it the east side or the west side. And they were usually positioned approximately 30 feet apart with hands linked together. And the game starts when the first team would call out a player's name. For example, if Elijah was on one team, they would say, Red Rover, send Elijah on over. And we're going to demonstrate this here in just a second, all right? So everybody can get an idea of what we're talking about. All right? And so Elijah would take off running. And the goal was for him to break between the hands of two people that were held together in the chain. And if he is able to break through that chain, then he would take one of those two people back with him to the other team. But if he was not able to break the chain, then they would keep him and he would join that team. Everybody remember the rules of Red Rover, Red Rover? All right, so let me get some help here this morning. All right, so all the boys, Carson, I'm counting you on this one too. All right, so all the boys, come on up. All right, Cameron, you want to come too? No, we're not getting up there. Down here. All right, we don't got a lot of room to do this. All right, y'all got to cooperate with me. All right, stand up. All right, come here. All right, these two are already holding hands. I guess they're on teams. Come here. All right, that's fine. Come here. All right, now I need all three of you right here. Okay. Oh, is that why? I get it, Jackson. Pick the strongest one. That's good. That'll go with my message later on. All right. You guys are putting him in the middle. Hold on. All right, there we go. All right, so here, back up some. Now kind of spread apart. Spread apart. Now you guys spread apart a little bit and step forward. All right. And now here's how this works. Now, Carson, you're going to say Red Rover, and you pick one. All right. Do you know his name? All right. Cameron. Good job. All right, so you're going to say Red Rover, send, and name one of them on over. And if they say your name, you guys are going to try to run and try to break through their grip. Somebody's going to get hurt. All right. Scoot forward a little bit more. All right. Okay. And then if they call your name, they're going to hang on as tight as they can, and they're not going to let you through. You got a question?
No.
You want to go? They got to call your name. If I was them, I wouldn't pick you. All right. Go ahead, Carson. Oh, boy. Try to bust through, Cooper. Bust through. All right, Cooper, that's it. They got you. Now you join their team. All right, guys. This is when you just resign. No. All right, Elijah. Now you got to get one of them. And you can even try to get Cooper back if you wanted to. All right, Cooper again. Hang on. Oh. All right, and then what would happen is Cooper would pick one. Whichever one you want. All right, sorry, son. All right, now you go to their team, and now guess what? You didn't win. You lose. All right? And so that's how you play. All right, you guys can sit down. All right? Now, we're going to do that again in a little bit with some bigger boys. All right? Except for... Do what? All right, so everybody understand how Red Rover works? David, he said here in verse number 30, and I don't know about y'all, but when I read my Bible, I see things. And I'm not saying they were playing a game, amen. But here, verse number 30 said, "For by thee I have run through a troop." You know what I'm imagining, David, I thought of Red Rover when I read this. It said that he had run through a troop. And he says in verse number 30, "By my God have I leaped over a wall." Whether you like it or not, child of God, you're in a battle. Whether you want to be or not, you're in a battle. You're in a battle for our faith and our family. You're in the battle for the future of this church, the future of your family. If you're saved, you're a soldier of Christ, whether you like it or not. Now, there's a lot of soldiers that are not participating in the battle. There's a lot of soldiers that aren't participating in the plan, and they're not interested in even what's going on in the battle. But if you're saved and you're a child of God, you've been enlisted in God's army. You're a part of the army of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." As a child of God, you are enlisted in God's army. You are to endure hardness as a good soldier. Now, if you've ever been involved in an intense game of Red Rover, you will endure hardness or you will not play. Amen, because it gets very interesting, especially when you play this game with teenage boys who are showing off for all the teenage girls. Amen. I've been a part of a few of those matches at youth camps growing up. Amen. And you endured hardness, even if it hurt, even if you didn't know if you were going to live, because you didn't want the girls to see you lose. Remember playing this game? Amen. Now nobody knows how to play because they know I'm calling on volunteers later. So all of a sudden, we're in this battle. We're in this battle for our families and our faith. And I'm telling you, as this thing draws to a close, the battle's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. It's getting worse and worse in the days that we're living in. When you were born again, you were enlisted into the Lord's army. You are now on His team. Amen. Aren't you thankful you're on the winning team? I'm thankful I'm on the winning team. Whenever you were saved, God rescued you from the devil's team. He said, Red Rover, send Brother Steve Bowen on over. And guess what? You're not breaking through his arms. The Lord captured him. Amen. And the Lord saved him and rescued him. And thank God for it. Hey, the day that you got saved, Jesus Christ came looking for you. He called you and you were born again and you weren't breaking through his arms. Amen. He said over there that nobody could pluck you out of His Father's hand. Amen. The day you got saved and He called your name, He called you on over in the Holy Spirit of God. He spoke to your heart and you were born again and washed in the blood. And He calls you on over to His team. Amen. So thank God you're on the winning team. When you were saved, you were called over from the devil's team and secured into the body of Christ. If you remember over Paul, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, you don't have to turn there for a second time. Just stay here. We'll be back in 2 Samuel in just a minute. When Paul was saved on the road to Damascus in Acts 26, verse 15 to 18, but Paul said, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" This is when the Lord called out Saul, Saul. And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the day that He became the best thing that ever happened to you? That's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit of God came knocking on your door. You accepted Christ as your Savior and you switched over to God's side. Now, thank the Lord this morning, you can never lose your salvation. You can never lose that. Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
Amen. I'm so thankful for that. But you know what's sad? We live in a day and age today where some of God's children, just as the children of Israel did, and other examples in Scripture, they went back to fighting for the other team. It's sad to know the truth today that there's a lot of people that are children of God, they're saved, they're going to heaven when they die, but they went back to fighting for the other team. They swapped back over. What happened the day that you got saved? God called you over. I know I'm using a carnal example this morning in Red Rover, Red Rover. That's the title of the message. But when you got saved, He called you right on over. And you got saved and you ran into His arms. And thank God He saved you and you're born again. And now you're linked up with Him. But somewhere down the line, He called you back over. Because we're in a battle, right? Somewhere back down the line, Brother Cody, the devil and his group locked arms together and they said, "Red Rover, Red Rover, send Cody back over here." Somewhere down the line, one of them came to rush through and didn't run towards Christ, but they ran towards your family. And they broke through. And when they broke through, they took one of them back with them. You guys know how the game goes. I'm going to illustrate it here in just a moment. Proverbs 14, verse 14 said, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Proverbs 16, 18 said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." 2 Timothy 4:10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed from Thessalonica, Grecians, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia." You know what happened to Demas? Demas was a child of God. Demas was serving the Lord. Demas was yoked up with Paul. Demas was yoked up with Silas. Demas was yoked up with Christ. And all of a sudden, the devil said, "Hey, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Demas on over." And Demas went running, but he didn't run the right race, and they captured him. It said he had forsaken having loved this present world. Do you know what happened this morning? I'm going to use this other illustration now. Let me get a couple men, if I would. And I'm going to ask for volunteers, and if you don't volunteer, I'll just grab some people. All right, amen. Brother Bobby, Brother Stephen, Brother Nick. I gave you a chance. All right. Well, you put that around your neck, brother, and just stand there. It's a mug shot. All right, David, come here. Good night. Alright. Now I want my family to come up here. Alright. This is a little bit different this morning. You never know what you're going to miss when you miss church. Alright. Are you guys okay holding hands in church? Alright. Elijah, go stand over there. I just want to do a little illustration this morning. Alright, let's get some room over here and you guys stand here and act like you're holding hands or something. Let me read one verse real quick. Moses, when he confronted the children of Israel, asked this question. Exodus 32, verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" He wanted to know who was on the Lord's side. "Let him come unto me." Amen. You know what he said? "I've got a team here, and I want to know who's on the Lord's side." You understand this morning that the devil has a team, and his team hasn't changed very much. His strategies haven't changed very much. His tactics haven't changed very much. And whenever you got saved and you were rescued and you were called away from the devil and you were no longer a child of the devil, God, Father, the devil wasn't happy about it. He have your soul, but he wants your testimony. And he wants... If you're saved in here, adult and parent, if you're saved in here, praise God for it. But if he can get your testimony, maybe your kids won't get saved. Maybe they won't fall in love with God. And here is an example of what has taken place in our country, what's been going on for a long time. You've got the education system who's trying to take your children and teach them that there is no God. They're trying to teach them everything that's opposite of this book. I am against public education. 120%. I'm against it. Amen? I'm against colleges and universities. You realize there's kids that leave their church and they'll go to universities and colleges and they'll come out idiots. And they no longer believe the Bible. They don't even know if there's a God. That's the agenda. Social media. That is something that sucks kids in every day. And foolish parents will just give their kids devices so they can get on social media. Right. Amen? Is this all right? Way to go, Nick. The government. Hey, you mean to tell me that everything that's happening right now is not the devil's plan? He's using the government. Amen? There's supposed to be three forms of government. You got the judicial, executive, and legislative branch. And God designed that. He designed that program for all three to keep each other accountable. And you can only find all three in one, and that's God. God is all three. Amen. But all of a sudden now we've got a government who the judges are up there making law. The Supreme Court is making law. They were never designed to make law. The legislative... Three presidents, I know they did it before then, but even Donald Trump did this. They signed executive orders like their pen was going out of style. The legislative branch is really the only thing we've got going for us that are on our side trying to make law that's right for the people. But now the president makes law and the judges make law and everybody's deciding what's law and it doesn't have to go through legislation anymore. We're in trouble. And you know what they are? They're things that are against this book and against God. Humanism. Amen. I picked that one as Sarah said, they might not know what that is. Amen. That means you're a little God. That means whatever pleases you, whatever makes you happy, that's what you do. However you want to dress, however you want to live. Hey, all the things that are going on in our country with sodomites, different things, all this is a humanistic view. It's the devil wanting you to believe that you're a little God, just like he did with Adam and Eve. You shall be as gods. The same thing. And so all of a sudden we have the two teams. And then you've got Andrew McAfee family over here, and I'm supposed to be raising my family to please God. I'm supposed to be reading the Bible and having devotions with them. And I'm telling you, no matter what happens, if the Lord tarries, these three are going to be old enough one day to have to make a decision. You know what the Bible tells me over in Psalms chapter 27? It says that my children are heritage of the Lord. You believe that, parents? Do you believe they're a heritage of the Lord? Let me read the scripture for you so that I don't mess it up. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 12, forgive me, Psalms chapter 12, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, as I raise my family, I ought to raise my family to love God, to serve God, to love the church, hey, to worship God, so that one day when they get old enough, and all of a sudden social media says, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Ella on over. Have you ever seen a sharp arrow cut through a rope? Anybody ever seen anything like that? Go look on YouTube. Sharp arrow cuts through rope. I don't know if it's on there, but I'm sure everything's on YouTube. You could do brain surgery with YouTube. Go look it up. You know what happens? Social media and education are teaming up with government. They're all in it together. Don't be fooled. Big tech, big media, they're all in it together. You say, you shouldn't get political. I'm telling you, the devil's political. So all of a sudden, social media teams up with education and government, and Ella's finally old enough where she's starting to get out on her own. It's going to be the test of whether or not her arrow's sharp. They link up together for the sake of the message, brothers. They're going to say, Red Rover, send Ella on over. And Ella's going to come. Come on. She's going to come over into them, but she's going to come. And you know what most Christian families, what happens? She just comes over and just... Her arrow's not sharp enough to cut through anything. Why? Because I raised her on movies and social media, so she's comfortable with it. In a Christian home, I raised her and taught her how to fall in love with media. How to fall in love with social media. To be acceptant of what's going on. And next thing I know, Red Rover, send Ella on over. Well, Ella's old enough. She's old enough to start making decisions on her own. And so she takes off running. And next thing you know, instead of an arrow piercing through it, there's been some young Christian folks that have went off to college and got a degree and stayed with it. They did right. They stayed right. I'm married to one of them. She has a bachelor's degree from UAB, a liberal, God-hating college. And she has a bachelor's degree from there, serving God. You know what happened? Her arrow was sharp. You know what happened? Her arrow was sharp. You know what happened? She was told no as a child. Maybe she didn't have all the luxuries and all the privileges and all those things, but thank God for it. Sometimes we're so spoiled and we can spoil our children so much that all of a sudden they're comfortable with some of those things. And whenever they say, Red Rover, send hell on over. Next thing you know, she's engulfed. I personally don't believe, at least today, that you ought to send a young lady off to college. I don't. Most of them can't handle it. I know y'all are looking at me funny. She needs to get married to a Christian man and raise children for the glory of God. Raise other arrows. Amen? But all of a sudden, these young ladies, they want to go off and work a job. Working at McDonald's for some do-rag wearing sucker to put his hands all over in McDonald's. Is this okay? Yeah. Red Rover, send Ella on over. She's 13 years old, so we're going to give her a phone. And let her have free reign on social media, where the government and education through social media can teach her humanism views. And our churches are losing them left and right. Some of y'all have kids and grandkids, and you have family that got sucked up in this stuff. And they might be saved. They're just as saved as you and I are. What happened? Somehow the arrow was dull. And it's my responsibility to raise the heritage that God gave me. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. Then all of a sudden Elijah, maybe he gets a little bit older, and he starts going up, and they say, Red Rover, send Elijah right over. He said, God called him to preach. It's my responsibility as a pastor to raise him and to help him, and as a father to raise him and to please the Lord. You know what my prayer is for every child in here? For every single one of you kids, is that you'll get saved at a young age and that you'll fall in love with God. Not just be a saved person. Not just be a saved sinner. But that you'll fall in love with God. And fall in love with the Bible. And fall in love with the church. I can pray that all day long, but you know what the prayer, you know how that prayer gets answered? If mom and dad get right with God. If they get right with those things and raise their children to please God and not to please self. That's how that happens. And then you know what happens every now and again? Red Rover works this way. All of a sudden, they took Ella, and now Ella's a part of their team. And then me and my family are standing here, and all of a sudden we're joined together. And we're going to try to help Brother Nick out. We're going to try to win him to God. We're going to try to be an influence to the people we work with. We're going to try to be an influence to our friends and the people we care about. Amen. And so here's what we do. Red Rover, send Nick right on over. Come on, Nick. And all of a sudden, and you know what most Christian families are? The dad's standing back here saying, all right, wife, make sure our home is spiritual. Is this okay this morning? All right, wife. Wife and children, make sure our home is spiritual. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to live however I want to live. You make sure we have a spiritual home. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, Nick running at full blast, I don't care who she's hanging on to, he's busting through either one of these lines. And then guess what he does? Guess what he does, men? Social media, what he does, man. He takes your wife. Now my wife's going home with some other guy. Now my children's found a friend on social media. Go back over there. Now he's taken. Now I have two daughters that are in the world. Both have professions of salvation. They both have professions of salvation. Because she met some 30-year-old pervert on the internet, and she was 15 years old and decided to leave and go with them. Where did it all start? When you handed them a device. And next thing you know, slowly losing a family. Tell me, I understand that children, when they get to a certain age, are going to make up their own mind, they're going to do whatever they want to do, they have a free will. I get it. I'm not trying to belittle anybody that has lost their children to the world. You understand what I'm saying? But tell me, I mean, there's a lot of families that have five or six kids, and two or three of them are out in the world. They're living wicked. They're not doing right, and there might be one that's doing right. How does that happen? I don't have all the answers. But I tell you, there's some things I can do to help prevent it. Red Rover, Red Rover. And constantly. And you know who they're going to go for? The weakest link. And dads. Now, if me and Sarah were joined together and we wanted to, we probably could resist Brother Nick coming through, maybe. But do you know who's going to let go? If somebody broke this chain, do you know who's going to let go? It's probably going to be her. Men and women are different. Do I need to explain that this morning? Do I need to pause and explain? Men and women are... The Bible said they're the weaker vessel. Who was deceived, Adam or Eve? Eve. I know it's quiet in here this morning. But there's a lot of men standing behind. They're like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and have a good old time while my family's going to church. And I want my wife to stand here guard. And she's going to hold the line for our family. We're letting her be the spiritual leader of the home. She's the one praying with the kids. She's the one doing devotions with them. And she's maybe doing the best she can. And no matter how strong she is, I'm telling you that if the man's not involved and God's not the foundation, they will pick your family off one by one. Do you know how this thing ought to look? Ella and Emma, come here. Hurry up, run. Do you know how this thing ought to look? Y'all use your spiritual imaginations for just a second. Nope, stand right here. You stand right here. You stand right here. Nope, right here. Use your spiritual imaginations for just one second. We're in church faithfully. We read our Bible. We do devotions to the family every day. Do you know how this ought to look? Elijah, Jesus. Ella, Jesus. Sarah, Jesus. Emma, Jesus. That's how it ought to look. Oh, why do you have Jesus more than once? He's omnipresent. He could be with her and with her and with her. And if He's holding on, and if He's between them and between them and between them and between me and Him, and on the outside of both of us, nobody's breaking through. Nobody's getting through the grip of Him. And if He's hanging on to me, nothing's going to break loose of that. But the problem is, we have families hold hands that are doing it without Jesus. Family devotions aren't that important, are they? Reading our Bible every day is really not that important. Praying. This is just a visual illustration of what's happening right now every day in our lives. Am I wrong? This is a visual illustration. And all these over here, the devil, they're just sitting there, Red Rover, Red Rover. Send Emma on over. Every time the radio's turned on, every time the television's turned on, every time they're in a public setting with other people, the devil's whispering, Red Rover, send Cooper on over. And you know what's sad? Most of the time, the arrow's so dull. I told Brother Bowen this morning that if I don't read my Bible every day, so you have to, you're the preacher. No, I have to because I'm nothing but a dirt ball. Amen. Miss Sarah was supposed to say amen there, not another lady in the church. Brother Andrew's just a dirt ball. All men are dirt balls. The truth is we're all dirt balls. Do you know why I have to have the Bible every day, Cody? Not because I'm a pastor. Not just because I'm a parent. But because I'm a sinner, and this old stinking flesh has been saved by the grace of God, and if I give my flesh 2 inches, it'll hurt my family, and it'll hurt myself, and it'll hurt my church. I have to have it every day. But there's families that go weeks and weeks and months without it. If all they ever get is on Sunday mornings, I'm telling you, it'll be a dull arrow. But thank God for kids that are raised right and raised under the Word of God. And as soon as one of those things call it over, it's like an arrow that shoots right through it and comes right back. Amen. And if they've got enough God in them, maybe they can win people that they meet later on in life. Maybe a young man can go to work and have good character. He's not perfect. None of us are perfect. But maybe he can have enough character and enough God in him that he can win some of his lost coworkers and invite them to church and then they're up singing. Or maybe they can come and teach a Sunday school class, or they can come be in church and all these things. Maybe, just maybe, God can use them. But the devil, all he wants to do is sit there and capture us one at a time. Whether he runs over and we have no defense, or whether they capture when our kids go running over, I'm telling you, the devil's after us. You guys can be seated. Thank you. Let me just give you this last thing. And I know it's 12 o'clock. You can be seated also. Do y'all see the illustration this morning? Do y'all see the illustration? I'm just going to give you this outline and then we'll be done. I really think God got the message across already. The enemy has broken through the lines of our church. We have lost families out of our church. Why? They broke through the lines. Do you know where he'll break through the line of our church right now? The weakest family in the church is where he'll break through. We have family, Christ, family, Christ, and then another family, no Christ, no Christ in the home. And then another family, guess where he's going to go? In between those two families. In your home, guess where he's going to go? It's important for kids to read their Bible. What do I ask our kids every day when I see them up playing? What do I ask? Hey, have you read your Bible? Amen. It's that important, and they don't understand it right now, but that's why I'm the parent and they're the child. Amen. It's important every day. Have you read your Bible? There's people that have laid aside their boldness. They've laid aside their boldness for Christ. Hey, we have to stand for God. We sang both those songs earlier. Stand up for Jesus. We have to take a stand for our family, for our future, and for our faith. We have to take a stand. It's imperative. You say, how in the world can we do it? How can we stand against them? The answer is Christ. David gives us the answer in this chapter. Let me just give you this outline and I'll be done. Y'all still with me? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. Very quickly, I'm just going to give this to you. And then Miss Sarah's going to come to the piano. I really think there's some this morning that need to come just put their family on the altar today and say, Lord, I want to strengthen the hedge. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. What happened? The Bible said that he was delivered out of the hand of the enemy. Red Rover, send King David on over. And David begins to sing this song and said, let me tell you about the day that the Lord delivered me out of the hand of my enemies. Some of you have testimony here this morning where you can get up and say, let me tell you about the day that God rescued me out of the hand of my enemy. Not just salvation, but the day that He rescued you. The day that He got you back. Amen. Let me say, first of all, the strategy in Red Rover, there's a strategy. If they call you over, you're going to pick the two smallest armed boys to run through. You're not going to run through the guys with big biceps that are hanging on for dear life. Amen? You're going to pick the weakest link to run through. That's a strategy in Red Rover. And you're going to want to pick that person to run through. You're going to, when you're calling somebody over, you don't want to pick the biggest guy first. You want to pick the littlest guy first. And say, send them on over and hope your weakest link can hold on. Because the idea is to eventually have that entire team over on your side. There's strategy in Red Rover. Look at David's strategy. In every one of these, start with the Lord. Do you understand the importance of this, church? The foundation has to be the Lord. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. The Bible said, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I want to say, if you want to have a strategy, number one, the Lord has to be your start. You have to start with Him. He has to be these things. Number two, not only that, the Lord has to be your start, but He, the Lord, has to be your standard. Look over there in verse number 22. You can go back and read the whole chapter later. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Not only does the Lord have to be your start, He has to be your standard. What is the standard for your home? Is it the happiness of your children? Is it the happiness of your wife? Is it the happiness of you, sir? Is that what the standard of your home is whether or not you're happy? I tell you what, if God's the standard, the whole family can have peace. The only ones that are not happy are the ones that rebel. The Lord has to be your standard. Look in verse number 29. For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. He has to be the standard. Not only that, but verse number 30, the Lord has to be your strength. You can't do it on your own. For by Thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect. Stop trying to do it on your own.
Amen.
You will end up a casualty of this war. The Lord has to be your support. Verse number 34, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Think about that. A bow of steel being broken by the arms of David. How do you do that? The Lord is your strength. You can't do it on your own. The Lord has to be your strength. He has to be your support. Verse number 36, Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. The Lord has to be your stand. Verse number 37, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. When you're playing Red Rover, Red Rover, just as important as your arms are, your feet and the way you're standing is just as important as locking arms. If they're coming for you, You're bracing. If you're standing like this, so what does that mean? The Lord will have to be your stand. Just like David, over and over again, the Lord did this, the Lord did this. How did He break through a troop? The Lord. The Lord has to be your success. Verse number 42, They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but He answered them. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me. If you want to have victory in this conquest, and you want to save your children, your marriage, your home, your family, the Lord has to be the one to do it. But you got to get your priorities right. The Lord will have to be your start and your standard, your strength, your support, your stand. He'll have to be your success. Romans 8:37 said, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Miss Sarah, you come to the piano. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Miss Sarah's coming. Church, as I preached, I know God laid some people on your heart, or maybe it is in your home. Maybe there's things that you need to come talk to God about. Maybe there's some families you need to come pray over your family. Hey, the devil's trying to pick your kids off. Does that mean anything to you? Listen, if God spoke to your heart, would you come do business with Him as she begins to play? When called upon, when the devil calls out, Red Rover, send your child on over. Will they be able to stand in the day of battle? When they run against you and they attack you, will you be able to stand and withstand in the day of battle? Oh God, would You help us? There's been many come. What about you? Maybe there's somebody that you know that's already wayward. Maybe the social media, government, humanism, there's a lot more things I could use. Maybe those things have engulfed your family or your children or grandkids. Who's going to rescue them? Not you. It'll be the mighty hand of God, but He can do it.
wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cliff of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love, and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
In the day of battle, church, whenever the devil starts yelling, "Red Rover, Red Rover," the question this morning is, are we going to be able to stand and withstand? And I'm telling you right now, if you're on the Lord's side, you're on the winning team. And the devil knows it. He knows he loses. Amen. It's in the book. He knows it, but he's going to try to get as many as he can to lose their testimony. The church as a whole is in apostasy. We're in the Laodicean church age. Lord, help us not to be a Laodicean church or a Laodicean family. Amen? Amen. All right, Dad.